Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. I'm joined by Tui Varas, Inda Tracy, and our Croatian Sean Smith, who's on holidays, showing his dedication to the cause. Big news this week, lads. Two new tip managers, Colin Bonner with the senior job, Brendan Cummins with the under-20s. Inda, what did you make of that appointment?
Well, it kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? I think in the few weeks leading up to it, we kind of were expecting maybe a Willie Maher, and there was talks of Cummins and maybe Darry Egan before he went to Wexford. So when Egan went to Wexford, then you were looking at a fairly small pool to choose from, or so we thought anyway. Bonner didn't even come into my head, to be honest. And I don't think he was mentioned too much in media or anything like that, so... But looking at what he's done, I think a lot of people maybe don't realise how successful he's been as a manager and as a coach. Like I was looking through his achievements there the other day, and he's done a lot since he's finished up hurling himself. And you know, his time in Carlow is probably the most successful period he's had as a manager, just from an intercounty perspective. Like he's done great things with them, but you know, he's heavily qualified to manage teams. And you know, he'll surely make a good fist of it anyway, because he seems a fairly level-headed chap, and by all accounts, he's a sound man as well. So he'll have Tip's best interest at heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, Sean. Colm obviously has a fairly long career in the Tip jersey, going back from 86, 87. He was midfield in the Munster final, the end of the famine, and I think he played right up into the middle 90s. And he's a real Tip man, loves the county. It's a great honour for him to manage it. And like as Enda said, I mean, Waterford, Wexford, Carlow, he's done coaching work with. The Tip Camogies, he coached back in 2000, I think, to an All-Ireland final. He's got good pedigree, and he's been still involved with WIT, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Like, he's one lad, if anything, put me in the hell of a bracket as a respected Tip player. Like, you know, he's never a bad word to say about Shaq. Like, And like, I think it's Rowan Steve Donnell actually said him a few weeks back, was he, as a possible candidate,
kind of, yeah.
No one thought that of it. And kind of point draw, like, what? But then we kind of break it down more and look back and then to sit there what he's done in herself, like, it's like, it has to be, like, they're not picking someone for the sake of fear, like, to be honest, they took time, didn't rush in when Kai went, and exactly rush in the following day and say, here, there's a job, William Arrow, you know, so, like, we have to respect the decision, and we can only judge on what he brings to the table, and hopefully he's thrown himself by good people, which is the main thing now. I think the selectors and the coaches and that in the background team is what needs to get in, and they're the key, I think, more than the manager's big, but the background staff are huge, really.
Yeah, no, they sure are. And I was talking to a former county chairman during the week, and he said people will be very interested in who his selectors are, but it's actually the backroom team that can be the difference between winning and losing, and kind of the coaches and guys you surround your team with. Those appointments will be very important too, won't they?
They always are for any successful team. It's not just the manager that makes things tick. You know, he's a big part of it, obviously, but you need everybody rowing in. Mm-hmm. And you need people to be good at their job. And Intercounty Hurling's gone to that stage now where you need a huge backroom team all pulling their weight, trying to get things together. So I don't know who's been mentioned now. There's not too, it's early days yet. I suppose he'll take his time and he won't rush into anything. So, but you'd imagine he'd have a heap of contacts for sure. He's coaching for the last 20 years and he's been going through club, different counties at club level and coaching in different at college level as well. So, you know, I think he'll take his time and see what he has. I don't think I think there's a few people worried that maybe he'll go for a lot of the old guard, maybe from his own generation from the 80s and 90s when he was hurling with Tip. But I think he's smart enough to know that you need a bit of a younger influence around the place as well. So maybe he'll mix it up that way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And that's I think what the people are hoping is that, you know, kind of even a lot of that 2001 team, I suppose, like, they haven't really got a look in on selectors, and like the likes of Eamon Corcoran, Philip Maher is doing good stuff with Boris Ali, guys of that, like Brendan is obviously going in with the 20s, but there were some good guys on that team. John O'Brien, even from Toom, I just saw the programme. He was a sub on it. Tommy obviously has been knocking around a bit and is interested in getting back into coaching side of things, I believe. So, I mean, there's good options for him there, isn't there, Sean?
Yeah, really sure. Like, the name you mentioned there, the Liam Cork, and he's like, they're, you want, love to see kind of lads that haven't been involved, we have done good stuff at club level, and then as Enda said, you want to mix in one thing on the younger lads, well, maybe just to kind of might know more about the younger scene. Again, we're always about developing this county, that's another podcast, you know. So hopefully maybe one of the lads kind of came from the red scene that kind of thrown in as well on the mix there for sure.
Yeah. So look, we wish Colm all the best in the role, and he certainly will have all our support going forward, and we look forward to see what happens there. The under-20s in the Brendan Cummins, I suppose it wasn't really the best kept secret. Brendan was going in as under-20 manager, and he has done stints as selector in Leash and goalkeeping coach in Kerry, and I suppose he was interviewed recently and said that he wants to be a manager. He wants to be the man that, I suppose, takes the flak and makes the decisions. You know, so it's a good appointment, I suppose. Long term, he probably sees himself as a manager, as a senior manager, and this is a good stepping stone for him.
Yeah, good stepping stone for him. Obviously, look, he's limited enough experience, like he's with Kerry and Leash over the last few years, so he needed to cut his teeth at underage level if he was going to be considered for a big job at a senior level. So, look, there's a lot of negativity going around about Cummins there on the forum for whatever reason. I don't know where it's coming from, to be honest. I think people just have a set against him from the Sunday game for some reason, which is natural for the Sunday game. It's just comes with the territory with that show. But like he's been given an opportunity now, and he's cut from the same cloth as Colin Bonner. He's a Tip man true and true. So we'll see what he makes of it. We haven't much evidence from his previous jobs to see what he could do. He hasn't been really the head man anywhere before. So look, he's as good an appointment as anyone.
Yeah, I suppose, look, as you talked about maybe not having that many options. when you're looking at under 20 managers, I mean, Paul Collins gave a couple of years there with the minors, and he was replaced by James Woodlock. I mean, Woodlock wasn't ready to step up to the 20s, and there wasn't really too many. I mean, Darry Egan is gone, Tommy Dunn is gone. There wasn't really too many more options there for 20 manager, or too many options putting their hand up for that position.
No, you'd say usually that, well, we've been lucky enough in tape in the last few years that there's kind of been a succession from minor to under 20 to senior. So when you're looking at the minor team for the last couple of years, probably haven't been as successful as we would have hoped. And, you know, you're looking to start from a new base then once those guys aren't coming through to the next level. So there probably wasn't too many options around the county. Not options of lads that had much experience anyway. And I think Cummins falls into that bracket, all right. But look, like, he knows the tip county scene inside out. You know, he'd be keeping an eye on everything, and he'll give it a good fist, I think.
Yeah, no, he will. And just to pick up on your point there on the Sunday game, Sean, I always found Brendan, I suppose, he didn't go onto the Sunday game wearing his tip hat. He was very impartial, I thought. And like when you look at the likes of Shane Dowling, and very much wearing his Limerick hat when he's up there, the Kilkenny lads certainly do the same. You know, I always thought Brendan was very fair, so I don't understand where that negativity is coming from.
Well, I'd fully agree. Like, and he's one lad on the panel, like you mentioned, if Tip weren't going good, he'd stand up for me. It may have Dowling and Don Logan and them like saying otherwise, like, but he seems to say what he thinks, but not to kind of offend anyone too much either. So, like, they're on 20 levels at the moment. We're probably a step behind what's there. Like, you know, Cork, you could say, are miles ahead at the moment. But, like, you know, like, he's someone going in, giving a chance. Like, and again, hopefully, he'll be honest with lads, give a lot of lads chances. Like, you know, over the years, last couple of years, you heard stories of trials and lads going in, they puck a ball and they're told they're dropped. Or, you know, just kind of, you know, so hopefully Cummins might give it a fair rattle. Again, COVID affected a lot of that shit as well. So, I can't exactly give out to who we had previously either. That's the problem.
Yeah, no.
You'll have some decent players there. Like, the minors last year were very close to beating Limerick in the Munster final. You know, went extra time, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, there'll be hurlers there for him. It's whatever he does with him now at this stage.
Yeah, no, I think there is talent within the county, and I look forward to seeing what Brendan can bring to that table. And again, Fintan O'Connor is already named as the coach. Fintan was involved in Kerry with Brendan, so he did know each other well. And obviously, Brendan trusts the coach and the coaching style that he'd bring to it. So that's all. And I presume there'll probably be a selector from each of the divisions named over the coming weeks or whatever. So, so other than that, this weekend, lads, we go into round two of the Hurling Championship at all three levels. We start off with Group 1 in the Dan Breen. So, Turles and Turles Arsfields and Erog and Icarty are in round two, and Upper Church and Drum. Dare I say it, maybe the surprise of the round one, Erog getting over Upper Church. I won't say a surprise, because I think they were always capable of a performance, Erog. Anyone that watches them knows that's they're well capable of doing that. But at the same time, nobody tipped them, sure isn't.
I think we're all in the Upper Church camp here, especially when I saw them in the mid championship, that, you know, they gave our second team a good going over, like, to be honest. And I just thought they're the winners of that game. I know Airog, as I said, they beat us in Dundrum there a couple of years ago. They actually, one of the best forms for club team I've seen in a long time when they gave us a going over, like, but then they can do the same this year. Now they're in a right good position. I know, like, they're paying ourselves now this weekend, but still they're in. Win the first game, we're going after a flying start for sure.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. It was a very good performance, and I'm sure Upper Church will be disappointed with it and looking to rectify that this weekend as well. They have Drum, and I suppose, Sean, you bet Drum, and you had, what, 3-3 on the board after 7 minutes. And I think I read somewhere that Bear the first quarter, Drum actually won the rest of the quarters. Now, I'm sure Sayers had the game won, or knew they had the game won, but still, putting up 123 wasn't a bad score. And so, like, Drum are still knocking around, aren't they? That'll be a good game in the church.
Yeah, it's a feel of kind of a knockout qualifier about, because, like, losers in big, big trouble. They're pending results elsewhere. Like, you know, again, the first 5-6 minutes, we blitzed them. And then it's kind of a game where we're kind of a few points ahead the whole time. We had Drummer doing all the hurling. Drum management being impressed by how they kind of came back there in the second quarter, especially they upscored as well like that stage. But Ireland wanted blocks and we had enough firepower there and took lads off. But like, it's rarely we come out of blocks that fast. Like, usually we're kind of finished strong. So it is great to see it. Like, Paddy Creedon there inside is an exceptional find, to be honest. So it is, hopefully they're all going to give the shock again this weekend, like did a few years ago. But they're capable of that, and we're capable of that too, to be honest. So it is hard to know.
Yeah, give us your two winners there, Sean, for Group 1.
Drum and Sayers.
Drum and Sayers. Group 2 then sees Clonoulty and Tuam Vera meeting Inda and Holy Cross and Mullinahoan. Clonoulty and Tuam both had decent wins in Round 1. You must have been happy with the performance, considering the poor performance, I suppose, against Kildangan, and it was good to get back up on the horse and play very well.
Yeah, just happy to get the win. To be honest, we were kind of leading up to it. We were just saying, you need to get the Killadangan match out of the system now and just get any sort of a win here to get back on the horse. Played well in patches. We were good in the first half, particularly coming towards the end of the half. We created an awful lot of goal-scoring chances, left a lot of goal-scoring chances behind us. But once Davy Young got the goal there just before half-time, I think we were set. And we started the second half strong as well. We were winning 2-11 to 5 points there at one stage, so we were kind of close to, and I think took the foot off the gas. Maybe we were getting a bit casual and conceded a couple of goals to bring it back, but I think we always had an extra gear to get the better of them. I was disappointed enough with Holy Cross. I thought they'd be put up a better show than that. Now I know they're missing Brian O'Mara, but I was expecting a bit more from them on the day. But look, it was probably a 6 or 7 out of 10 performance from the lads. There's more in them again. Kenny Ryan coming off the bench, and we're half expecting Kevin McCarthy maybe to be back before the end of the group. So a win is a win. Yeah, you know, you need to get off to a good start no matter what way you win it.
Yeah.
So, just in relation to that, like Brian O'Mara losing, he was some loss for the cross, like, so it is against us, he was an exceptional player in the field. His ball in Florida lane was top class. It's like, so no, he had a good win, but it's just Holy Cross is very disappointing, that result, like, from your own point of view.
Yeah, they had a lot of young lads playing, but when they had to bring Barrett back, centre back, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You can't be missing players of that calibre. No club team can, you know, he's important to them. So that was a big thing for them as well.
Yeah, and Clonoulty had they struggled for, well, I won't say they struggled. I mean, it was very tight up until about 10 minutes to go against Mullinahoan. Battle of what the South and West champions, but Clonoulty had to bring Mikey Winnie, Sean O'Connor and Stephen Ferncombe off the bench to kind of get them over the line, and ended up winning by 6 points in the end, but it was nip and tuck. Clonoulty and Tuam, that'll be a good game. I mean, both of them, I suppose, would consider that they're in the top eight, if not maybe the top four of Dan Breen teams in the county. So It'll be interesting to see. They'll both want to win to make sure they're in top spot in the group.
Yeah, you don't want to be leaving it to the last day. Preferably, you want to be getting through, have the 4 points, a game to spare, and then see what way the group is panning out. Last few meetings between the teams, there's been very little in it, and there's a couple of wins either way. They're missing Cottle Burke, we're missing Kevin McCarthy. So look, there'll be no excuses on the day. Whoever wins will be the better team, but if it's going by the last few games that we've played against them, it's going to be tight. I actually think it's going to be a draw in this one. I think there'll be very little separate teams, and if there is a winner, it'll be only the odd point either way.
Yeah. And the other game then is Holy Cross and Mullinahoan. Mullinahoan had carried some form into that game, but obviously they lost. Both similar enough scoring. Mullinahoan at 115, Holy Cross with 215. Probably won't be too much between the two teams when they meet on Sunday and Saturday. Mullinahoan and Mikey O'Shea up front, and Owen Kelly is obviously still knocking around. I think Paul Curran is still playing in the back line for them. So they won't be easily bet, and it'll be a good test for Holy Cross.
Yeah, that'll be a tight match. Mullinahoan obviously have the bounce from coming up from the Seamus Oireann, and this evening we played them a few years ago in the preliminary quarter final. We were expected to beat them, but they are a dogged team. Like, they're hard to put away. Strong players all over the field, and they have good hurlers as well. Mikey Shea, you were saying, Sean Curran, Paul Curran, Owen Kelly. and a few others. Like they're going to be hard to beat. Holy Cross, I was struggling to see where they're going to get the scores. They struggled in the big way up front against us. Like we gifted them at least one of the goals. I know Stephen Flanagan played fairly well. He was kind of ploughing a lone fur up front. I don't think they're going to have enough of a scoring threat. And Mullinahone probably dog it out, I think, by a couple of points.
Yeah. Is Darren Woods hurling for Holy Cross in the
He was hurling the last time. He was poor enough. He was very sketchy on the freeze, but he hit an awful lot of wides from scoring, good scoring opportunities. Looking at him when he was coming through with Tip, you were expecting maybe he was a real prospect for the senior team, but he didn't reach too many of the heights I've seen from him underage with Tip the last day. But he, as I said, Stephen Flanagan was really the only threat they had the last day from play anyway.
Yeah, again, going back there, Dara Woods, like Woods against himself is very good. So kind of, I know I'm going on about Brian Marr, but like a lad delivering the ball, the forwards, the game plan was him all along to hit the ball into him, and he's under hitting the ball in. It upsets the inside lads, mind you, the same ball, but then you have to have plan B in case, like if we lose power of your own, you have to have plan B, like at the end of the day, like, you know, we have to have someone else step in.
Yeah. Enda, you went for a draw in the first game. Who do you think will win the second one?
I think Mullinahone might squeeze through.
Very good. All right, Sean, we'll move on to Group 3. There's three mid-teams in Group 3. Game of the weekend, I would say, was the first game of the championship. It was on the Friday night. Killadangan and Lochmore repeated the county final. Killadangan once again came out on top with a 1-point win. A cracker of a game that was streamed, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I only watched it back then afterwards. Like Lochmore, because the game, Killadangan probably deserved it, but Lochmore were so close. No, Glasgow got late scores, but Lochmore, first stage of that game, were exceptional. The score was unbelievable. 223 to 222 is top draw in a club game in the heat as well in the stadium. So both of them teams are banged there as well. For Dan at 10 years, no, like they can play 10 times and it's all going to be 5 wins for Killing of 5 and Lochmore, the way I see it. Like, so Lochmore this weekend, they should have enough for McCarrick, to be honest. And then it's just Killing enough for Bracken. It's hard to know Bracken's are this year. Like, it's a strange kind of position, Bracken, you know.
They pulled the performance out of the bag, didn't they? None of us, considering the way they played in the mid, I think they only scored the 10 points, was it, in their loss. And
they didn't play great against Lochmore that day. That was poor. And McCarrick probably overperformed at times well in the mid. So, Bracken's got to 116, I think it was, against McCarrick that day. But they'll need to kind of up again now this weekend. Their team that can have momentum going, they can drive on. You've seen it over the years, Spanish. So, Killangan should have enough, but Bracken's will hang around and McCarrick could put out a performance again against Lochmore this weekend. They've done it in the mid. They're ahead against Lochmore most of the game and Lochmore won in the end by a couple of points, but there's a shit or bust kind of, you don't want to be in relegation, like finish a fourth in the Dan Breen is an off decision being like an off for any club.
Killadangan won't underestimate the Brackens after last year either. That was a cracking match there. That was the first game of the championship last year, I think. And
finished the draw, didn't it, I think?
Finished the draw, yeah. Killadangan pulled it back, yeah.
Sean, who have your two winners?
I'll just go Killadangan and Lochmore. Just the bookie favourites. Simple enough.
they're probably are 1 and 2, aren't they, in the county at the moment, and it's up to the rest of the teams, I suppose, to get up to their level. Group 4 in there is an all North affair, and Borsalee and Killaran, they play each other this weekend after two good wins in round one. Borsalee fairly destroyed Ross Gray 224-15, and then Killaran got one over on near neighbours Nina. 2 points was all that was in it. Quite a good game as well. So that Borsalee and Killaran, that'll be a very interesting game.
Be a cracking match, yeah. Last time they played in the stadium was the county semi-final the year Burris won it. And Killaran really left that match after them. I remember watching it. They'll be sick after that, I'd say, still. So that was a cracking match. But Killaran, in fairness to them now, they didn't start very well in the North Championship. They'd only scraped past Ballina, and I was like, they're not going to be much shakes this year. But geez, they've gotten their act together in a big way. Unlucky enough not to beat Killadangan in the North Final. They played well for 50-55 minutes in that one. And I watched the match against Nina last, and what was there, only 2 points in it for a finish, but that was a 2-point hammer, and like there was two late Nina goals in it to pull the score back a bit. But they bet Nina fairly comprehensively. Keane O'Kelly and Jerome Cahill just went to town up in the forwards. And they're expecting to have Dara Peters back in the next few weeks as well, so they're only going to get stronger. So yeah, that'll be a cracking match. Burris, look, Ross Gray, I don't know what to make of Ross Gray. Since they've come up senior, you've been expecting them to push on a bit with the good minor teams they've had over the last few years, but they can never seem to make that step up against in the group stages against anyone, really. So look, I was expecting Burris to win that, but I didn't expect them to maybe win by that margin. So look, Burris and Killaran is going to be a tight match, I'd say. It would be hard to call that one.
They're in a group of sharks, aren't they? You know, I mean, all three of those teams would be looking at trying to win Dan Breen, and Ross Gray are treading water, I suppose, really, aren't they, in that group?
Yeah, you'd imagine they haven't got great history against Nina at senior level, so they have them the next day, and Nina will be looking to bounce back. A lot of players underperformed for Nina the last day. Jake Morris was in that race, as Mikey Heffernan. They looked fairly porous in the back line. They're going to have to address that, I think. Look, Ross Gray, they're going to be in the relegation shake-up, I think. Just, you can't be going out against Burris like that and take a beating like that and expect to recover for matches a week on week after that. And it's not like they're playing teams of worse quality now. They have to play Nina, who are as good as Burris Lee under the end, killer one. So it's going to be a hard task for him to come out of that group.
Yeah.
Just on Ross Gray there, like, would you think maybe that fear is kind of not over three, but they got so close teams and lost in the end, didn't see it out. Like this year then, doing into a group with like probably three of the top six teams in the county, to be honest. No, were they kind of playing the same game plan and maybe that wasn't the way to go? Like a Bursley blew them out, like, you know, it was kind of a game over drop. So it's kind of hard to see where they'll fall back from that. The group is an impossible draw, but other years, like, they're kind of unknown kind of way, kind of an unknown team going in. They should have won 3 or 4 games, but they didn't. No, so maybe this year could be the year where not doing enough previous years could come against them this year.
In fairness to them, they're savagely young. Like, they have a lot of young lads in that team. You know, the Tynans and Luke Cash, and you know, they're good young lads, but they're still young. Like, there's more to come from them, but they'll have to stay in Dan Breen to get that progress, and it's going to be tough for them every year if they keep going into the relegation. Like, there's teams going into it that are not going to go down handy. Like, so, you know, they're going to have to start making shakes eventually.
They're one team that I wouldn't like to see go down, to be fair. Like, you know, a town team, you want to see town teams go up, like, you know, Cash come up to senior and that kind of stuff. Like,
town teams are too soft.
We'd stick together, no fucking cunts against us on it. Fuck's sake, so. Up Ross Gray, stay in the den, that's all I can say.
Up the Ross.
In the two predictions there for those two games.
Yeah, I can't call the Burris and Killer One match, so I'll back a draw on that one.
You're a serious man for the draws, but you just sit on the fence the whole time.
it's not on the fence. That's a bold prediction. Burris, like, I can't call it. They're two teams. They're playing well based on the last day. Burris have all their lads back. Killer One are hurling well. I can't call it. That's going to be a draw, and the other one's probably going to be Nina by 5 or 6. Even if Nina don't play it to their potential, I think they'll still win that match.
Very good. Seamus O'Rean, so lads, Sean, Group 1 sees your beloved Sarsfield Stay had a huge win over the Swan in round 1. I think I probably thought that they might win it, but geez, they won it by what, 9, 10, 15 points?
It was. Going out to the game kind of during the week, Dads in town were going to be jizz. Tipper, Sarah's bees are a right good bet here. The bookies are giving us odds the opposite way. Usually be odds on most games for Sarah's, and I heard the good lads get on. But our team kind of lost a good few kind of Seamus O'Rean regulars into the senior A game, but like went out and it was like, it's hard to know our Swans are to. I don't know. Like, it's hard to comment. Like, I didn't think we're that good, but where are Swans at level? Like, I know they got bet well in Mulhone. Didn't they only score 8 or 9 points against them, was it? It was like, it's like, it's hard to kind of judge where they're at. Like, you know, they didn't seem in the game planned or hitting the ball in. We had a good lot of long nuts involved, but still it was, it's as a result, kind of look and go shock, and like, it's hard to know where both teams are still that kind of bad at the moment, to be honest, you know. And we thought maybe in this group, Bake Lang and Bees, and we'll stay up. Now we're in prime position, maybe Bake Lang in the top group, like, you know.
Yeah, so Kildang and B, they beat Burgess. That was quite a surprise. Burgess on their first game back in James Serene after being relegated from Den Breen. And Kildang and B's beat them by 2 points. I mean, Burgess and the Swan now, I mean, that game, like, the loser of that is probably going to be in relegation to intermediate. And it's probably not something either of those teams would have envisaged at the start of the season.
No, yeah, for sure. Like, when we are previewing the game here, we would have said Burgess. We all said Burgess were top, Swansea, and then the other B teams were fighting it out. Like, you'd agree, Andy, you said Killagan maybe might have a few good lads held back senior B, but you weren't expecting to maybe be in a position with top group. Like,
crazy, crazy result. I wasn't expecting it at all. But then I was looking at the report and I didn't see it. But Stephen Murray and Shane Maher didn't start for them. And I don't know, was it a case they were injured or they were holding them back? Just let them get over a little niggle and just expect them to win the match. But Jesus, they're two of their better players. Like, and Stephen Murray, more so than Shane Maher, like, he does all the scoring for Burgess. So I think I heard he came on and he was kind of hobbling around a bit, which is fair enough. But you'd wonder if he was able to play any part at all, you should be starting him. It's a county group match. You can't be going out and putting all your eggs in one basket, but expecting to beat a second team and expect them to roll over. Like, and it's a shocking result. Like, if like, you're looking at the Burgess crowd out there now after losing to Kildangan second team, like, they're only over the road from them. Like, they're not going to be happy with that. Like, they'll surely be fucking embarrassed is the word. Like, so there's a lot at stake for the Swan and Burgess the next day. Like, they really need to get back at it.
Yeah,
it's one group as well that could come down to score difference, to be honest. If safe, the winner Sarah Kildangan win the next day, winner will be on two, and then the other game I have one win. The final game we could play in Burgess, and it could be all Burgess beat us, it's all one win each. You know, score difference could be huge here as well. Like, you know, so and looking at the overall picture, so like our score now against getting the score up against Swan's probably a help. Like, it's probably got a point on the board, to be honest. But it's could be a strange group. Like, we think, yes, we might qualify, or Klang might qualify, like, you know, or we could be bottom two. Like, it's and could happen, to be honest.
Hurlers could get to the latter stages of that, couldn't they?
Well capable. They have a fine team.
No. Conor Lanigan and Mikey O'Brien there in the forest. Like, they'd make most other club teams in the county. Like,
I can't be talking up to Hurlers team, dog, in 2 minutes. So I'll just say we're happy with our win. We're staying now with Seamus Ryan.
Well, John,
does it count as 37 if you win the Seamus Ryan?
Oh, Jesus. Wouldn't
be four in there. Wouldn't be four in there.
He'd be gone to 38 maybe by the end of the year. Sean, two predictions there. We know where you're going with the Sayers Kildangan one, but what about the other one?
Burgess, honest, I didn't see much of Swans to kind of say. I know we had a good day, our forwards done well, but like, even when we were ahead, Swans didn't show much, to be honest. So I'd go Burgess and just go Sayers just my own, like.
Very good. In the group two, then, has three North teams. Temple Derry got one over on Newport and put up a huge score. Shawnee Ryan scoring 4-4. And then the Mines and Clonakilty drew. That's a tough group to call now. I think we all tipped Newport, considering the way they performed last year. But would Temple Derry bounce back and put up a huge score?
Jesus, yeah, that was savage. I was expecting a tighter match than that. I backed Newport. So
I think we all backed Newport. I think that
I was way off with that one. Temple Derry were just so poor in the last match of the North against Burgess. Like, they actually really threw in the towel when they went behind early enough in the game. So I was expecting that to be a lot tighter, especially after Newport were playing so well last year. By all accounts, you know, their bigger players didn't really play that well. You know, Per Ryan and Floyd's there, so a lot of the scoring will come from the two of them. Shawnee Ryan is just playing out of his skin. Like, I mean, if he stays hurling the way he is, I know people say, oh, it's only Seamus Oren level. Like, Jesus Christ, like, scoring four goals in any senior adult match in Tipperary, like, is unbelievable. And he's backed that up. He scored 2-8 from play against Ross Gray in the North, like, so he's doing savage damage in a full forward for them. So that was a surprise enough result all the same. Mines and Clonakilty, I think I backed the Mines in that one just marginally.
I think we all backed the Mines. I think Clannachinny obviously put up a good performance there, scoring 121 to draw it. But we all, I'd say we would have thought that the Jason Ford influence would have got Mines over the line, but obviously Clannachinny played very well.
Yeah, Clannachinny put in a good show apparently, but the Mines, we played them in the North, they're missing a lot of players. Not that like players injured or anything, but they're missing lads to come in there and make a difference for them. Like the few younger lads, Mikey Corcoran and Conor McKelvey have come in. Mikey Corcoran looks fairly good now, but look, they're still too young to be making a massive impact for them at that level. And they just need Jason in two or three different positions. You know, they haven't got the players to be, I don't think they have the players to be making a charge out of the Seamus Sareen anytime soon. So I think it's just the case of them staying up at that level while the younger players come through.
Yeah. Have you two predictions there in there?
So we have what are the fixtures again?
So we have the Mines are playing Temple Derry. The Mines in Newport, Clannachinny and Temple Derry.
Back Temple Derry against Clannachinny. Mines in Newport. I'd say Newport will get back on the horse in that one.
Mines in Newport, a local derby. That should be a home dinner, actually.
Yeah.
Group three, so lads, another West team with a brilliant performance. The Tracys drawn with Killinall. And Gortnahood, straight up from intermediate, beating Ballina, which none of us predicted. Good wins there, Sean. Good win there, Sean, for Gortnahood. And Tracys with a great draw.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Like Gortnahood, as I said, the kind of nasty pads over the start of the year, like, you know, an upcoming team, but like to get to win the award firstly out, like at that level is not as exceptional for me, and they're doing a lot of work outside. So there's one thing they'll be able to drive on from that for sure.
Yeah. Killinall didn't produce again. Typical, I suppose, maybe of a Killinall team. We all, on paper, they're excellent. And then when it comes down to the game, they get caught. Now, Tracy's obviously aren't a bad team, but Jesus, I was certain that Killinall would win that.
Because the oddest as well, Deb, we're kind of like, Jays Killinall have enough there, but like, we saw, I think I mentioned to Rupert going, Jays was the Trace ahead of 1 point something, we're like, what's going on here? Like, you know, kind of wondering, have Killinall been hit by COVID, missing 10 lads, like, to be honest, that's a shock result it was. Like, I hate to see a price to earn the bookies, but should have been 1 to fucking 50 on, were they? Like, they must have been, like, had to be, like, that level. So it is a very, very bad result for them. Like, 14, they should be, by their own kind of account, up senior maybe. They're probably up at that level. They're probably around there, maybe the, you could say, the 15 to 20 kind of bracket, or 12 to 15, 20 bracket. So, they're in trouble now, for sure.
Yeah, so this weekend, then, it's Killinall and Ballina and Sean Tracy's and Gortnahood. Well, how do you see them going?
Killinall have to bounce back, to be honest. And then, Sean Tracy's, Gortnahood, I don't know, classic end of prediction here, draw.
Another draw for the Tracys. Get off the fence, guys. Get off the fence. Group four then threw up a surprise. Maybe not. St. Mary's beat Laura by 3 points, and Cashel were too strong for Portrow by 4 points in the end. A game that was nip and tuck. I think it was level with 3 minutes to go, and Cashel pushed on. But Mary's Laura. Probably Laura would be disappointed, won't they? Losing to Mary's round one.
Very disappointed, yeah. Obviously last year they hurled right well, got to the final with James Sareen. You'd have been expecting them to maybe build. Obviously, look, they're missing Bonner. It was obviously a massive loss for them. But look, I don't know too much about St. Mary's, but the results based on the last few years, you'd have imagined Laura would have had too much for them. But this is a great result for them. Seamus Kennedy hurled right well, seemingly. He's the heartbeat of the team. So, great win for them. Great win for them, yeah.
Yeah, good cap of man. Full back for St. Mary's as well, Liam Ryan. So, I just wanted to get that.
Oh, yeah? You could do with him. You could do with him.
Shh! Cashel and Portrow, fairly testy affair. The other side, 3 players sent off. Cashel win by 4 points. But, I suppose we're all expecting Cashel maybe to play well, and but they didn't get it all their own way against Portrow.
Yeah, no, I backed Portrow on that one. They're a dogged enough team. I think I was following the updates on it, and they're They were winning for most of the... they were winning for the most of the first half and they were going well into the second half. Justin Conroy got a red card in. I don't know what he got sent off for, but that seemed to give Cashel a bit more impetus into the game and they dragged it back. And then the second red card isn't going to help things either. Gooch Byrne, was it a jostle in the back for a second yellow or something you were saying? So,
yeah.
Look, Cashel weren't going to click straight away with all the new players they have there. I don't think anybody was expecting that, but I'd say they'll just be happy to get out of there with the win. Portraw are very hard to beat. We experienced that in the North for the last 10 years. Like they're a dogged enough team, kind of in the same bracket as Aero Gannacarty in the West with G. So that would have been a good test for Cashel and it would have brought them together a bit after a good win.
Yeah, Cashel started with Owen Connolly at full forward, I think, due to an injury in his finger. So they had Lee Burke, I think, at centre-back. And Connolly got stitches, I think, front and back after an injury in the West Final. But whether that has cleared up and they'll need him at six, he'd be, the heartbeat of their team. And Ger Brown is carrying a hamstring injury and he started in corner forward. But I think once they get those two guys back out the field, you can see them playing a lot better again, you know.
Yeah. What are the fixtures on that one again? It's Portraw and Laura, isn't it?
Portraw and Laura, Marys and Cashel.
Probably Portraw and Laura. Jesus. Can't go for another draw, can I? No, I probably fancy Portraw maybe to bounce back. Was it Justin Conroy won a straight red? I know Gooch Byrne was the second yellow.
No, Portraw's were two second yellows.
Yeah, with a full team out, I think Portraw might squeeze through that one.
Yeah.
And the other one, what would we say? I'd say maybe, probably you'd be expecting Cashel to win it, but look, it's just no foregone conclusion now. St. Mary's will have a lot of confidence after the last day, but I probably will fancy Cashel by a couple of points.
Very good. Moving on to the intermediate championship, we'll fly through these very quickly. group one. As Mine Temple Tui and Drum, Cab White and Boris Akane. Mine had a very good win over Boris Akane. Mine in the group stages are invariably unbeatable. So but it put up a good score, 126-214. Boris Akane followed that up, losing the North final to Moneygall there last weekend in the by 4 points. But is it typical of Mine to win so easily in the group?
Yeah, sure. Mine are a good team. You know, they've got some good young players come through, to Garrod O'Connor and Connor Bow. Like they're going to be, they're big players for any club. The quality they have, they'd be big players for any club. So, look, winning the group matches are their bread and butter, as you were saying, the last few years. So they need to translate it into knockout matches. But Burs Cain, they're always knocking thereabouts, and they have a lot of young players as well. But the confidence is going to be a bit low, and after losing the first end, they were very close to beating Moneygall the last. I think Moneygall got 1-2 in the last couple of minutes to win the match by 5 points. So confidence will be a bit low with them. But Mine are a solid team at that level, in fairness.
Yeah. In the other game, we were cruising against Drum's senior team up by 8 points. They had a run there just after half time. They got a couple of goals and points, and we looked shell shocked, to be honest. And we did get back ahead, but they got another goal then a couple of minutes for time, and that put an end to us losing it by 2 points. Very, very disappointing, I have to say, after winning the West Final the week before. Just didn't see that.
Up and down there, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't see that performance coming. You know, 2 weeks to two undid the work of the previous 2 weeks, you know, and puts us under pressure now. We've Boris Akane this weekend, and obviously they lost, and they're no bad side either. So I mean, Jesus, Boris and Kappa and Mine and Drum, I'd fancy Mine to win that game against Drum. To be honest, Drum just didn't look great against us, and then just got the run on it, and it seemed to inject. I said that we were cruising at halftime, 8 points up, you know, and looked like, and probably should have been more. You know, it's just
who done the damage for them, Mike?
They had a Paul Kennedy playing corner forward. I think he got a couple of goals, and he was on the freeze for them. Very good. And it was their experience more so than anything. They didn't seem to have many young players playing, but it was their experience. And when they did get on that run, they were just, we just didn't know how to handle them, and it was just a disappointing result, is all, you know. So, but look, hopefully we can bounce back. We played Boris again 2 years ago in Kilcommon, and it was a draw. And this game is on in Newport now at 5:30 on Sunday. So. We'll have to see how we get on. I'll let G do the predictions on it.
Yeah, I'll probably go up Boris Kane, all right. I don't know enough about you, Mike, now to go the other way. So I'd probably say Boris Kane, and the mine will win the other one anyway.
Good, that's going up in the dressing room wall. Okay. group two, so Moneygall and Kickhams get wins over Davins and Ballybacon. I think we all predicted those two results. Moneygall are flying. We've spoke about them. They've won their county league, and they've now won their north and won the first round. So they're doing very well. And Kickhams had a good win over Brendan Cummins inspired Ballybacon. I think he finished with 1-5 or 6, I think. Seemingly a bullet of a free from about 30 yards into the roof of the net that no keeper was stopping. So it's Moneygall are going well. They look to be favourites. That'll be a good game in the Moneygall and Kickhams.
That'll be a good game, yeah. I think they met. Did they meet last year or the year before? And it was a tight match. They were doing the group together last year, no? I can't remember now, but. Yeah, Moneygall are going right well. They have a lot of young players coming through.
Sean Kennelly and Joe Fogarty are going
through. Sean Kennelly's going to town in there in corner forward. So they have a lot of young players coming through. And look, the last, these 10, 15, I remember they got to a county semi-final back in the mid-noughties. And, you know, in the last 10 years or so, they've been kind of hanging on with a lot of older players. And, you know, they're starting to filter through a lot of players from underage now, so it's kind of starting to come to fruition. That Sean Kennelly, that looks a real good player now.
Real fine player.
He does. So, look, it can take just one player like that at intermediate level to make a big difference. So, but they're going right well.
Yeah. Kickhams then have a couple of former county minors, Jamie Duncan, Stephen Brown, playing for them. And I think Kieran Breen, I don't think he played the first day. He'd been out with concussion, but hopefully he's back for them this weekend. They need him. But yeah, that would be a very tight game. And Davins and Ballybacon, I suppose. Davins up. This is our second year at intermediate. And they only lost us, what was it, 5 points against Moneygall. So decent performance, put up a good score, 117. I don't know, they possibly have too much for Ballybacon, but then when those South teams meet, there's very rarely much in it.
Yeah, you can pick those matches. We've seen with the Killinall and Mullinahone results last day. Killinall after beating Mullinahone in the South final, then they go out and draw to Tracy's, and Mullinahone run a penalty fairly close. So when they go into the South teams, when they come together, it's just a lottery to see what way it'll come out. Yeah. There's a lot of hatred down there in the South.
That's for sure.
So it's pure stubbornness, really, that are keeping the matches tight.
Predictions in the Kickhams versus Moneygall, Ballybacon versus Devons?
Probably a fancy Moneygall with the momentum they're on at the moment. Obviously, Knockavilla looked her down a few players for obvious reasons, and maybe that seems to be galvanising them a bit, and they're putting in the performances to back it up. But say Moneygall to win that, and probably say Davins. I've seen Ballybacon and Davins the last few years at junior level. We played them a few times, so I think Davins have a few more scores than Ballybacon.
Yeah. Group three of the intermediate, Sean, Borlaghan got got over their mid-final loss, had a 7-point win over My Rovers, 215-8, and Kilsheelan, I won't say surprisingly, but they seem to have it all their own way against Golden, won by 7 points. But I think Golden's goal was late in the game to put a bit of respectability on it. But Kilsheelan, I think we spoke about them the last time. They have a couple of good few county players, you know, the Mahers and that, and Mark Keogh. So they won't be a bad side. And if they get it together, they'll be in with a good shout at this championship.
No, for sure. Like, and even the Golden was all kind of surprised, because I saw the goal to cap game. And I kind of thought yourselves for good, and Golden kind of behind you, like, you know, and. He's going to score 114. He said late goal there. But Gaeshiel, you said they've young players there, and then of course last day, like 121 and convincing winners. Like my raw result is disappointing from their point of view. 2-8 is like, you know, like
yeah, it's not
in sure. Championship hurling, like to be honest, 8 points, like, you know, like in Borland, like are making their way up long, you know, they're coming up long, and they could have, like, you know, seeing themselves at the moment, seeing themselves against Shielding at the moment, now at least again the top group, like, but you know, to be disappointed. The two teams lost, we kind of disappointed with how they lost and their performance, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So the Borlahan and Kilshiel and my Rovers and Golden prediction, Sean.
I go Kilshiel there, and then the second one Golden to come good, maybe a bit. Golden. So Kilshiel and Golden.
Very good. Group four of the intermediate in the Ballingarry, Ballinhinch, Shannon Rovers, Arval Rovers. So Ballingarry had a good win over Arval Rovers. A tough debut, I suppose, in the county championship for the junior champions, 320-111. Good scoring there for Ballingarry. I think Dylan Walshman very good in that. And then in the All North affair, Ballinhinch had 3 points to spare over Shannon Rovers. So this weekend then Shannon Rovers and Arval Rovers in one game, Ballinhinch and Ballingarry in the other. What do you make of that group?
Tight enough group. Obviously, Arval, it's a tough group for them coming out of junior. Probably didn't go too bad last day in defeat, did they, Mike? You know, it's going to be a learning curve for them coming up. So they're playing Ballinhinch, are they?
Or, no, sorry, Shannon Rovers. Yeah.
So, like, Shannon Rovers are a really low ebb this year. You know, including the County League / North Championship, they've won very few matches, struggling for form. Might be a chance for Arvale maybe to nick a win there, but I'd be sceptical to go against Shannon Rovers all the same. They tend to dig out results when the back's to the wall. So
yeah, we played Shannon Rovers last year in Newport in round two of the intermediate, and we beat them by 7 points, but they were a fairly decent side. But they've lost Alan Byrne and Alan Hogan, is it? So they're down.
Two big players from two losses from.
Yeah, and then the other one, obviously Ballingarry with a good win, and they're just down out of senior, so they're hurling with a point to prove. And Ballinhinch have been kind of knocking around this grade, I suppose, without ever threatening to win it, maybe. But always a tough side to beat, too, aren't they?
They're always a tough side to beat, yeah. They had a good core group there for the last 10 years that have been kind of ploughing the field from there. So, look, they're a small club. The underage talent is slow coming through there. They're amalgamated with Temple Derry at the minute. But they're steady enough at this grade. I don't think they're going to go down anytime soon anyway. So, look, the next day, it'll probably be a Ballingarry win, but Ballinhinch probably come second in that group anyway, I'd say.
Yeah, so predictions for the games, you said Shannon Rovers and Ballingarry?
Ballingarry.
Very good. So that's our preview review of the three top tiers of Tipperary Adult Hurling, Senior, Seamus Green and Intermediate. Lads, is there anything else we need to have a chat about?
I was just wondering, Mike, if do you want a loan of the Quirks this weekend, or do we hang on to them?
You won't get it all your own way against Tinoldy, let me tell you. You'll be crying out for the two Capulets to dig you out of it again.
The last time we played Tinoldy, you know, there were our two best players. I said there's a bit of hatred of Tinoldy there in the two Quirks.
Two good lads, actually. You have two good ones. Robbie has hurled very well for you. I think he's the type of hurler that could benefit from playing in the tip side in the middle of the field, actually, you know, and just the way he's played when he's played with you at senior level last year and so far this year, I think he settles in very well and kind of he really drives it on. I mean, and that's what we had seen all underage, you know, that's what got him on tip teams as well, you know. So,
Yeah.
Sean, you anything else?
No, that's all.
Go back to the Sun Lounge there, Sean, and get your bottle of beer, hub to feet.
Did you ever hear the like of it by drinking pints and sunning yourself on a Friday afternoon in September? Anyway. Right, lads. Thanks very much. And sure, we'll talk to you early next week.
See you, Mike. Hello.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.